Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's a pleasure to welcome back to our program a very famous, very talented, good-looking guy from Scotland, but coming to us from Germany tonight, is our old friend Kenneth Hamilton is back. Welcome back to the program, Kenneth.
Thanks very much, Mike. It's really really great to be here in these interesting times.
You are coming to us from Germany, although your normal home is Scotland, and or you have two homes.
Well, yeah, I suppose I have more than one. I mean, our second home is here in Wiesbaden in Germany, near Frankfurt. It's a beautiful spa town where my wife comes from. Although in Corona lockdown time, it's actually been our first home because we've been here since last March. And we also have places in Wales and Scotland. But we've been here hunkering down. And I've been doing other broadcasts too, you know, all from the back bedroom of our flat in Wiesbaden.
There you go. Your concert hall has turned into a bedroom now.
Yeah, sad times.
As the case for lots of performers around the world, when it came time to put today's program together, I looked at my schedule from last year, and ironically, you were on with us last year at this very same time. Your history is that you normally spend a little time here in the U.S. at about this time of year, right?
Yeah, that's right. In fact, this is the first year in 20 years that Monica, my wife, and I haven't spent some of the summer in Rhode Island because we very much like Rhode Island, a lovely place to spend the summer. It's sort of relaxing and beautiful and good to eat lobster rolls. But we've been unable to, and in fact, two in Rhode Island are still with us here in Germany. One is you, Mike, and the other is a yoga class that we do twice a week, which is broadcast online from Providence. So that's our connection with Rhode Island at the moment.
So you have some connection with the University of Rhode Island. And
yes.
Before we started the program tonight, when I was setting up the Zoom call, we even mentioned the fact that you've been to the Coast Guard House. So you're a real Rhode Islander if you've been to the Coast Guard House.
Well, I mean, maybe an honorary one. I mean, we love Rhode Island, and we're looking forward very much to when we'll be able to, as indeed I'm sure everybody else around the world is looking forward to, going to the places that we like once more.
Right. Concert pianist. And that's going to be tough working out of your bedroom. Do you have a piano there?
I have a piano. Would you believe in our mother-in-law's house, just about sort of, you know, a 10-minute bike ride away, which is where I practice, and I need to do that to save my marriage, because I think if I was practicing here in this relatively small flat, then my wife would disappear. Most people seem to think it's great listening to practice, but it's not like listening to music. Unless you want to hear the same bar of music, same measure of music repeated 200 times, then practicing is not for you.
Right. You know, music has a funny definition. I've talked to a lot of people who say, you know, you hold up a piece of paper with some dots on it, and they say, well, here's the music. And that's not really the music. The music is what you produce, right? It's what comes out when you're all done with the practice, when you're all done with the writing and the arranging and everything else, and then the music happens at that point. And
that's where the artistry starts, you know, or at least the bits that the audience is going to enjoy. That the bits behind the scenes, all the work is a bit like, you know, theater scenery, as you know, the musician yourself. You know, nobody wants them building the theater set, at least I don't think so. So what we are doing is building our theater set.
Right. And, you know, a piano as an instrument, my granddaughter, when she was, you know, a year and a half old, was banging on the keys. So she was creating and hitting the same notes that you do. But I wouldn't have called it music. So the yeah. artistry that comes in there is a great example of the difference between someone just hitting a note on the piano and then creating the music and feeling the note. And you had an interesting description. You and I have had this conversation before about making the piano sing, so to speak, in a term, making it so it's so personal that it's different for you, just like my voice is different than yours. And each pianist makes the sound different, right?
Yeah, and almost all music sort of aspires to the quality of singing. Now, you're lucky because you actually can sing, but if you heard me sing, you would understand why I played the piano. So therefore, the only way I can sort of, you know, imitate singing or any instrumentalist is to try to sort of create a lyrical line on the piano. And just like your singing has personal qualities, or anybody's singing has personal qualities, depending on what rhythm you like or your tone color or whatever, that's what we try to reproduce on the piano. So basically we're sort of imitating sort of theater or opera or whatever. We're imitating the human voice, but via, weirdly enough, by the means of a percussion instrument. And that's why, you know, your granddaughter, when she hits the thing, she's actually making the same gesture as a professional pianist does, to some extent anyway. But of course, it's the joining it together.
That's right.
It's the key to it, not the individual sound.
That's right. We have a saying in the quartet world where sometimes we sing all the right notes, but just not necessarily in the right order.
Indeed.
So there we go. Now, in the past, we've featured various CDs that you've produced. Bring us up to date. How many recordings do you have out on the market right now, roughly?
Gosh, I'm trying to probably about 10 of them, depending exactly what you count. I release roughly a CD every year, and it's just been lucky, I suppose, that I happen to have been in Rhode Island. I just usually a month or two after each CD release, and so that the release this year, which came out well in Europe in May, and in the US I think in late June or early July, is the sequel to the Chopin CD that you and I talked about 2 or 3 years ago, which is the second installment of CD called The Preludes of Chopin, all Chopin's preludes. Linked with other Chopin pieces, because the preludes of Chopin were not actually supposed to be played as one set of 24 preludes, as we talked about a couple of years ago. They were actually meant to be, they were meant to be what they say they are. They were meant to be preludes to other pieces. So in these CDs, I'm using each prelude as a prelude to maybe a nocturne or a waltz or a ballad or some other piece of Chopin, the way they were really originally intended to be heard.
Excellent. All right. Well, so we're going to get a chance to hear that the newest release from Kenneth Hamilton. And why don't you tell us about the first two tracks, I guess, that we'll hear now.
Yes, I tried to. The first two tracks is a prelude in C minor, a very famous piece. Most of your listeners will probably recognize the tune. And then a sort of big nocturne in C minor, which follows on immediately after that, which, interestingly enough, has almost the same tune at the beginning in a slightly different format, which is why I chose these two pieces together, because the prelude really is a very obvious prelude in that sort of way, and then you hear really a variant of the melody at the start. And the nocturne itself is really very unusual. It's really a huge piece for nocturne, very dramatic, not just sort of quiet and restful, but almost like an opera scene. It starts off like a tenor aria. I always think of this as the tenor about to be being executed. So it's a sort of tenor aria, very sort of mournful and lamenting, sort of Italianate. Then a central section that sounds like a chorus, a sort of prayer chorus, like sort of, you know, God save him or whatever, you know. And then a very, really, very dramatic section, you know, where the chorus gets louder and louder. And then the opening sort of tune returns, but this time really agitated, in a sort of excited, sort of desperate sort of way. So it's like a mini opera scene, and frankly, nothing like a nocturne. I mean, you know, if you take the title Nocturne seriously, but really like a sort of dramatic opera segment.
All right. Well, let's listen to those two pieces, and we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more of Kenneth Hamilton. Thank you. Kenneth Hamilton is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and speaking with Kenneth from Germany, where he is sitting out or waiting out the pandemic worldwide, although his performances normally take him to China and to everywhere around the world. We'll get a little more information about that. But as a concert pianist, he is he's holding court in Germany right now and gracing us with his presence via Zoom. So Kenneth and I get to look at each other, and but the rest of you get to hear his beautiful music, as you did at the end of that last segment. And Kenneth, I know a lot of people, when they call the station or they email us, they're looking for information as to how to get your recordings. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, it's really easy, Mike. At least I hope it's really easy. They're available on all the main channels: Amazon, Spotify, Apple Music, you know, Google Music. You name it, you know. They're available for download or on CD or whatever. And I know people listen to music in all sorts of different ways these days, and not necessarily just by a sort of hard copy CD. So I quite like the electronic formats, because you can go on, if you're an artist, you can go on Spotify for Artists and see who's listening to you where, and the three people are listening to you in Kazakhstan or something. And this tickles me. I quite enjoy this. You know, I call it. I hope it's forgivable vanity. So I rather like that aspect of electronic distribution.
Yeah, it's interesting. We can do the same thing. WCRI for many years was just broadcast over the airwaves and listened to in Southern Rhode Island, Southeastern Connecticut, and Long Island and so forth, and Block Island. And then all of a sudden, we went with the online streaming, and people all around the world, like you say, it's interesting to see where they're listening, when they're listening. And we get emails from people that are sending from China and from Alaska and from New Zealand, and it is interesting that people all around the world are listening now. So it's no longer just the local station. It's a worldwide endeavor, as all of your resources for the music is. So it's a great thing. I remember a friend of mine saying to me that my father had sung his whole life, and was quite popular in a quartet that sang around the world, did USO tours. He said to me, "I hope you realize that in 1 week you've reached more people than your father did in his whole life." And that was kind of astonishing. If you go back, 100 years, a great pianist might have been heard by a few thousand people. But you are probably heard by more than that in one day.
It's really amazing, quite humbling and fantastic in a way, because I know that a lot of people would prefer that everybody just bought CDs still, but the world changes and technology changes and you can't sort of turn back the clock. But you're quite right. I mean, the last Chopin CD, that this new one is the sort of sequel to the first Chopin CD you and I talked about on your show a couple of years ago. And that had about nearly a million listeners on Spotify, and that is undoubtedly going to be more listeners than I will ever play to live by far in my entire career. And that's basically just one CD.
Yeah, it's the same thing with me. I have part of what I do is go around the country emceeing shows, and there's a YouTube clip of me introducing a group that's had almost 3 million hits on just a YouTube clip. And I can tell people, look, I've got a YouTube clip out there that's had 3 million hits. But it's actually the quartet that they're listening to, but I'm there. So it is. It's kind of staggering. Well, let's get back to the music and tell us about this. What you want to play for us next?
This is another little prelude waltz pairing this time, not just prelude and nocturne, but this time prelude and waltz. And the prelude is very, very short indeed in C-sharp minor. It's really just sort of almost 40 seconds of, trying out the piano. And this is one of the reasons people played preludes in Chopin's day. It was partly to check that the piano was working properly. I kid you not, because old pianos were pretty unreliable, things like very old cars. The audience up, because that the audiences in 1830s and 40s could be a very noisy, talkative bunch, and they wouldn't sit quietly and respectfully like most audiences do now, and also to get people into the mood for the music. So this is a very quick little prelude, and then a very famous waltz in C-sharp minor, which is like a waltz actually that's trying to become a mazurka, because you can hear that the Chopin is Polish here, because the rhythm of the main waltz tune, ba-dum, ba-dum, da-da-da-da, really has an accent on the last beat, da-da-da-da-da-da, which of course is a mazurka rhythm, not a waltz rhythm. So the alternate section is in a proper waltz rhythm, so it's a sort of, you know, heterogeneous thing, part waltz, part mazurka.
Music provided by Kenneth Hamilton. Kenneth, I'm going to ask you to introduce this next piece so we can get it in before the break.
Yeah, so this is another little prelude that's just like strumming away, really. It's a rather gentle, and then a set of variations on what was a popular opera theme of Chopin's day, but nobody has ever heard of now. In fact, the only time it's ever played now is in this piece by Chopin. And it's a set of what Chopin called brilliant variations, so sort of basically virtuosic, sort of rather piquant variations of what was a once very popular tune. They're not meant to be profound, they're just sort of very jolly and hopefully very enjoyable.
All right, we'll listen to those and take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
Conducting Conversations is the name of the program. I'm Mike Mano, having a pleasant evening sitting with Kenneth Hamilton. Kenneth is a concert pianist who normally is touring around the world giving concerts, but right now, for the last 6 months or so, has been in Germany, but he hasn't been wasting his time. He's been recording and practicing and making things happen. And we have a new release that we've been letting the audience listen to tonight that came out in the United States just a couple months ago. And so Kenneth Hamilton is the name if you want to look him up, find his music, check him out. If you type Hamilton into Google, you'll either get tickets to Broadway or you'll find Kenneth, one or the other. but it's always a pleasure to talk with him. He's originally from Scotland, and so you're not going to hear a German accent, but you definitely will hear someone from Scotland. So, Kenneth, I'm going to ask you to get right to the music and see what we can squeeze in here. What do you have for us next?
Thanks, Mike. The next piece is really the biggest of Chopin's preludes, the famous Raindrop, and it's called Raindrop because they're repeated sort of A flat in the bass. To be honest, it doesn't sound much like a raindrop, but hey, that's what it's called. And it was written, you know, like a lot of the preludes when Chopin was in Mallorca and staying in this sort of old monastery, which terrified him. It was like a haunted house building, and he kept seeing shadows and having nightmares. And that's why, you know, although the outer sections of this piece are rather sort of beautiful and lyric, the middle section is like, you know, the trumpets of doom, sounds like the tread of the day of judgment or whatever. So it's almost like a nightmare vision surrounded by a sort of, you know, rather couple of beautiful melodic sections.
Thank you.
Well, Kenneth, I want to thank you so much for coming on Conducting Conversations once again. I've lost track of how many programs this is, but it's quite a few, and we certainly look forward to the time where you can be here in the studio in Rhode Island rather than our social distancing that we're doing right now. This is the biggest social distance I think I've done. What do you think about about 6,000 miles?
Well, I basically think, Mike, that if the virus can get us from this stage, we might as well just give up.
So Kenneth is in Germany sitting out the pandemic, normally from Scotland. And remember, if you'd like to get any of his recordings, you can do so by going to any of the normal places and looking up Kenneth Hamilton. And most of his music, you can't even tell when you play, Kenneth, that you're from Scotland. There's no accent to the music at all.
Luckily for that, I don't add Scotch snaps or whatever, you know, the sound of broken whiskey bottles in the background or whatever.
Well, it's been a real pleasure, and we're going to try to get a couple more pieces in before we go, and tell us what do you have for us.
Yeah, the last two pieces, Mike, are very short, very quick, sort of, you know, really enormously fast prelude, and then leads into Chopin's most famous nocturne, the Nocturne in E-flat, Opus 9, but in a really unusual version, because this is the version that Chopin effectively himself played. It was what he advised his students to play, with all sorts of extra ornaments. And it sounds again, you know, we started off with something that sounded like Italian opera. It sounds again far more like Italian opera, with lots of very elaborate decorations and the melodic line. So it's Chopin's Nocturne E-flat, but not as we know it.
All right. Well, we'll listen to the amazing music of Kenneth Hamilton, and we'll see you all next time on Conducting Conversations. Thank you.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.